Welcome back to Yang Daily. Reality continues to weigh heavily on us, but with it, enormous opportunity for progress as a nation and a species. Let's get to it. Theft is on the rise in New York City over the last month, though I expect we'll see the same everywhere during the crisis, depending on when the virus hits each location. New York City has seen a 75% increase in burglaries in the past month, falling most heavily on bodegas and supermarkets, which have spiked 400% since this time last year. And they aren't even at the peak infection rate yet, much less anywhere near the end of the crisis. This is going to get worse. This is what happens when people are scared and desperate because they don't have a steady income and the government is deploying insufficient targeted measures that exclude them or simply don't reach them in time. I saw a lot of casual judgment being thrown around online that the people committing these crimes are just bad apples, morally deficient, etc. I think more people need to ask themselves what it says about a society that we have so many people who see crime as their best opportunity. When people have no other options, this is their last resort. As we discussed earlier, Italy is experiencing a crime spree now, where people are organizing online into mobs, defying the lockdown and knocking over supermarkets, with the mafia taking the opportunity to recruit. We haven't seen this in China or South Korea or any other nation hit by the virus before Italy, partially because those countries did a better job containing the virus, but also because Italy was the first nation whose citizens had small personal savings. While China has had a prolonged shutdown of its economy, Chinese citizens have high savings and were able to ride it out. Italians, on the other hand, have quickly depleted their savings. As such, those who don't receive help from a government that has chosen targeted aid have hit their breaking point already. Again, with no other option, crime is their last resort. Why should we care? Well, first, empathy. But second, guess what other country's citizens have minimal savings? That's right, the grand old US of A. So if you're thinking that can't happen here, think again. We're about 2 weeks behind Italy in the outbreak. We may be 2 weeks behind in crime as well. And not for nothing, Scott Santons reminds us that the last time things were this bad in Germany, they gave rise to the Holocaust. Economic turmoil, improperly managed, can have unexpected and shockingly disastrous effects. When we say we need UBI, we damn well mean it. Our leaders have not taken this crisis seriously enough from the beginning. That needs to change fast. In an altogether different but equally disgusting story, millions of gallons of milk are now being flushed away every day as the market for milk has dropped. Since it cannot be stored long-term and cannot be sold, the free market has decided that the only thing to do with it is to throw it away. While people are struggling to make ends meet, and many are struggling to feed themselves. Just one more example of how the scarcity in our world is not a product of scarce resources, it is a product of greed, an artificial scarcity that we choose to impose despite the suffering it causes. And so many Americans honestly believe that this economy is working as it should. I must disagree. It's past time we evolve our economy into one that works rationally and for all people. Even the Financial Times recognizes the magnitude of the crisis and the measures that must be taken to mend our fractured economy. In a recent article, they wrote, quote, "Radical reforms, reversing the prevailing policy direction of the last four decades, will need to be put on the table. Governments will have to accept a more active role in the economy. They must see public services as investments rather than liabilities and look for ways to make labor markets less insecure. Redistribution will again be on the agenda. The privileges of the elderly and wealthy in question, policies until recently considered eccentric, such as basic income and wealth taxes, will have to be in the mix." End quote. Basically, they're agreeing with Yang that massive economic reforms are needed during and following this crisis, not only because of the impact it has had, but due to what it has proven about how flawed our economic system is. What we must do is make sure that change happens quickly before it is too late, and make sure that UBI is first and foremost among the reforms included. As money underpins access to everything in our society, opportunity most of all. If you own a small business, loans from the relief bill are now available. Businesses impacted by the crisis, not sure what business wouldn't qualify for that, frankly, can have up to $10,000 forgiven under the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. A portion of loans will also be forgivable under the Paycheck Protection Act if all employees are kept on the payroll for 8 weeks and the money is used for payroll, rent, mortgage interest, or utilities. But apply ASAP because it's first come, first serve. Because that makes sense. Futurist author Jamie Metzl wrote a strikingly important essay on the need to incorporate telemedicine and artificial intelligence into our medical response to COVID before we run out of medical staff. I think we've already passed that point in many places, which gives this all the more urgency. His essay puts it about as well as possible, so I'm just going to go ahead and quote here. As the number of people infected with the virus go up and the number of available healthcare professionals goes down, we soon will not have enough doctors and nurses to treat us, no matter how many ventilators we can produce. Here's the emergency plan. First, we agree on a basic set of inexpensive health diagnostic tools everyone should have at home. These could include a smartphone-enabled mobile electrocardiogram and a digital thermometer, a fingertip pulse oximeter, a blood pressure cuff, a scale, and a digital stethoscope. The items could all be packaged together in a government-approved bundle, sold as a single unit, and delivered through online retailers or provided for free to those who cannot afford it. Second, the U.S. government should oversee the establishment of a single AI-driven national healthcare triage platform that would be the first point of contact for anyone experiencing new symptoms. These people would first do app-guided home tests on themselves using their home diagnostic tools. They would then input these readings on the platform and fill out an electronic questionnaire that would start broadly and then narrow with each answer. If the program determines the potential patient can be treated with AI-generated advice, that recommendation would be made and an automated text message follow-up procedure would immediately kick in. If the text message exchanges indicate a worsening problem needing additional attention, the AI program would be designed to pick that up. Third, people whose symptoms are determined by the AI program to need additional attention, or those referred through the text message process, would then be referred to telemedicine doctors or nurses to discuss the situation in a video call. These healthcare providers could be in the U.S., but if the COVID-19 crisis continues to worsen here and alleviates elsewhere, we could also hire foreign doctors or nurses to do this work. These telemedicine providers could handle some situations through video consultations alone. In other cases, they could ask patients to send stool, urine, or even pinprick blood samples to local testing centers through kits that could be mailed both to and from patients. The telemedicine providers could refer the patients for further testing at a designated facility or to specialists who would see the patients first by video and then, if necessary, in person. All of this could be done in conjunction with and as an overlay to our current mishmash of insurance companies and other providers using technology that mostly already exists. By overseeing the quality and consistency of the AI backbone and taking responsibility for errors that may be made in this AI-generated triage process, the government will free the entire U.S. healthcare infrastructure to focus more on both the COVID-19 crisis and the neediest patients not experiencing this disease, but still suffering from diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and other acute chronic diseases. The federal government would need to work with states to ease telemedicine licensing barriers that currently prevent doctors licensed in one state from seeing patients in another state, even if only virtually. End quote. I totally agree with this. I'm sure we can all imagine the ways in which it's likely to go wrong, people misusing equipment, the app messing up, particularly if we outsource this to other countries, then you end up with somebody on the line who you can't understand. But as we've already discussed, our hospitals are being overrun because they cannot handle the volume of patients, and it's being exacerbated by other medical centers closing to avoid contamination. Not all of those people need to be physically visiting the hospital. They just don't have another way to be seen. All of this points to AI and telemedicine to filter people by the tier of treatment they need and to offload some of the simple manual tasks onto patients themselves. It would not just relieve the workload on medical staff, but also reduce exposure for everyone, both of which will save lives. It's also past time we modernize healthcare in this way. Not surprisingly, this is another thing Yang was pushing for in his platform, Like UBI, it became vitally important sooner than he expected. I think every piece of this should be incorporated into our crisis response as fast as possible, with the government providing these self-diagnosis equipment packages and app free of charge. Okay, so here's something I didn't expect. ABC News put out an article on how George W. Bush in 2005 read a book about the 1918 flu pandemic and, upon returning to DC, rallied his administration to craft the nation's most comprehensive pandemic plan, including a global early warning system, funding to develop new rapid vaccine technology, and a robust national stockpile of critical supplies, including face masks and ventilators. The effort was intense over the ensuing 3 years, including exercises where cabinet officials gamed out their responses, but it was not sustained. Large portions of the ambitious plan were either not fully realized or entirely shelved as other priorities and crises took hold. I just found that very surprising and very tragic that it was not maintained, because it would have dialed down this crisis by an order of magnitude. Gotta admit, I'm not a fan of Bush, but he was 100% right on this, and I wish that our subsequent presidents had been as well. While we're on the subject of things that I was not aware of, apparently Seattle's Democracy Dollars program was being challenged in the courts. Good news is, the challenge was dismissed. The claim was that property owners shouldn't have to pay taxes when the taxes could be used to promote views they disagreed with. The courts dismissed it, obviously. Tax money of all kinds is used for things any one taxpayer might disagree with. This is no different. So chalk up a win for Dim Dollars, I suppose. Lastly, there's a Twitter thread out there where people are posting photos of the bizarre homemade protective gear they see out there, and it's definitely worth a look. It's simultaneously tragic and hilarious to see what people come up with. Masks being made of everything from water coolers to oranges to underwear to my personal favorite, lettuce. Body protection with everything from scuba gear to plastic bags to astronaut suits. It's truly incredible. If you're looking for out-of-the-box ideas, you couldn't ask for better. Just don't assume effectiveness. Check it out below. Oh, and speaking of creativity, if you're one of the many people taking to the game Animal Crossing during quarantine, Victor Petch has got Yang Gang covered with custom in-game Yang merch so you can continue recruiting and yanging in the virtual world. Check it out below. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Apply for your small business loan if applicable. Have a gander at some of the homemade PPE. Get your taxes filed and your direct deposit set up pronto so you can get your $1,200. Consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, or United Way if you need help. Call and write Trump, Pelosi, McConnell, Graham, Dean, and Schumer why true UBI stimulus is the best solution. Use ResistBot or Income Movement to easily contact all your representatives. Consider what we can do to push the movement forward in this critical moment and discuss with others at the local hubs in the support links. And don't forget to Yang Daily.